me, it was learning to honor my husband and that I wasn't his mother. The money was his also, and to not try to control him or control the money.
Money. We're back to the topic of money from a week ago with marriage and some of the challenges with money. Boy, what an emotional topic. Had some great calls last week, and we got some lined up today. We'll be getting to it in a moment. You're welcome to share in our storyline at 888-888-1717 is the phone number. 888-888-1717. We got our calls lined up, but you're welcome to, as I mentioned, our storyline is open to you today. You know, in working with people over the years, I mean, many counselors would agree that what we see is money being an undercurrent in relationship stuff. You know, just disagreement about stuff, because we live in a very material world, frankly. And unfortunately, it can become a real issue in money. We teach at Intentional Living 10-10-80. We call it tithing, right? 10% saving. Learning to live on 80%. The rule here is, to how can we live on less than we make over an extended period of time? And if you have your own business, you can have income going up and down, learning how to average that and budget it. If you're on a fixed income, learning to live within the means. I always say it's really a math issue and learning to do that. Okay, let's get to our first caller today. Mike is in New Mexico. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your question on money today in marriage?
Yes, sir. So I was searching through radio stations. I happened to stumble across yours, and coincidentally enough, you're talking about marriage and money.
Yeah.
And my wife and I just recently experienced an unexpected expense. So her and I have both agreed that our ultimate goal is to tithe 10% of our income. You know, that's our long-term goal. Right now we're doing about $400 a month. But just this past week, we had an unexpected expense with one of our dogs, and, you know, it ended up costing us around $4,000. And, you know, we didn't really expect that. So, you know, luckily, you know, we have great credit. We ended up finding a 0% balance transfer offer. So we're going to be able to have no interest until January. My question is, though, is it acceptable to temporarily pause our tithing of that $400 to help pay off our debt and then pick it back up once it's paid off?
What do you think?
I think it's okay. Maybe not necessarily stop at 100%, maybe cut it in half.
But you're struggling with it, you and your wife.
We are. I personally was telling her that, look, we're just going to pause it in the, you know, for the meantime until January, and then once it's paid off, we'll pick it back up and we'll even add to it. But she doesn't want to stop.
Mm-hmm. Why doesn't she want to stop?
She just feels that tithing is very important, and we need to continue to do our part.
So if you were continuing to tithe, you're saying it just take a little bit longer to pay off that 0% credit card?
Yeah, you know, we would just have to re-budget, which would make things a little bit tighter.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, I'm certainly not God, but tithing is one of those things that is important. God owns everything. It's the top of the heap, as we used, you know, I've heard that teaching, you know, it's the top of the heap. We're giving back. I always tell people who are not tithing, maybe they're struggling, that they don't have the faith to grow in that area. You begin where you can. If it's 1%, 2%, but you begin the process to trust God, grow in trusting God. I would just say to you, Mike, if your wife is saying to you, I just really feel we should continue, I would be more concerned about where my wife is, right, than maybe what I'm thinking. If I have to re-budget or make some changes. Maybe in this case, your wife is going to give you some good wisdom when it comes, hey, we're going to trust God. We're going to continue to proceed. Is God going to love you less? Nope. He's not sitting in heaven wringing his hands saying, Mike, you cut that thing from $400 to $200 a month. And, you know, what are we going to do without your $200? So the issue isn't the money. The issue is you and your wife and your growing faith. And I would, right. You know, if you want my input on this, I think it's important for you and your wife to be on the same page. And if I were you, I would submit to my wife in this case, where the Bible says being mutually submissive to one another, I would submit and trust God and see what happens.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. I like it. That's where my heart was kind of telling me anyway.
Good for you. And listen.
I appreciate the reaffirmation.
Now, here's the deal. I want you to leave your radio station right where it is for 30 days.
Okay.
And if you touch it, if I see you touching that dial, I'm going to slap your hand. Okay?
Okay, I will keep it here.
All right, good for you. Listen, well beyond what we're doing here, intentional living, the rest of the day is filled with great deal more brilliance than I have. You're going to enjoy it, the great music, the fellowship. And for anyone else who's just spun the dial and landed on this spot, I hope you'll, because we know we can see you. There's magic in radio. We can see you. All right, Mike, God bless you. I hope that was encouraging to you. Talking money today, you know, we started with that little tease from Christina in New Mexico, but there's more to her story. I want you to hear the rest of it. So, Christina, welcome from also from New Mexico. Go right ahead.
Well, we've been married almost 20 years, and I'm a saver, and my husband is a spender. So that created a lot of issues in the beginning because we didn't know that was the title of what it was. I just didn't understand why he spent money all the time, and he didn't understand why I kept clutching the purse even tighter.
Hmm. So when he was overspending, in your estimation, what did that do to you? How did you feel about that?
Well, I was just frustrated because my whole life, you know, I always saved. And I have the ability just to stumble onto good deals. And so when that would happen, my husband would think, well, we have to get it because that we may never find a good deal again. And so, you know, the Lord just really had to work on both of our hearts with him, learning that he will always provide and that the Lord is the true provider and that he'll always have a good deal somewhere. And for me, it was learning to honor my husband and that I wasn't his mother. The money was his also, and to not try to control him or control the money. And so that took many years and arguments to get to that point and not be upset.
Now, did you come to a point of crisis?
Yes, actually, we did. And we almost lost everything we had. You know, the job was gone, but there were still the bills that were there. And we had to solely rely on the Lord for absolutely everything. You know, we had five children, and so that was difficult, getting to that place where we trusted him to be our provider and just to walk in his truth.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Christina. And some of you have really been down that path. You know, here's what I've found with people, or with all of us as humans. We all have moments in our life where we have to make a decision, are we going to trust God or not in some area of our life? And let's be honest, some of you, you haven't had to worry about that with money. You've been just enormously successful, managed it well, and you've been faithful, and things are going along, and you don't go to bed at night or on the weekend thinking about paying the bills or how we're managing money or being in disagreement. But you know what? You could have been hit with something physically or something in your marriage or with one of your children. You're facing something at work or something that was unexpected. And you know, the same principle works. Can we trust God in that area? Can you trust God for what's going on in other parts of your life well beyond money? Money sometimes can only be a symptom of some other issues that may be going on. But learning to really trust him, that's a powerful reminder. Thank you, Christina. All right, let's go to, let me see, Anna, also in New Mexico today. Go right ahead.
Well, you know what? This is one of my favorite subjects. And I've handled the money for a great long time while we've been married. And I've noticed the changes because from the beginning till the end. And
What do you mean, the changes? I don't understand.
Well, you know, the changes with the finances and everything, because when we were first together, he wasn't working, and I wasn't working. So we were pretty simple. And what we were making, I was working as a waitress. He was working as a bus person. Hmm. So we were making very little. But we were very happy with what we were making.
Yeah.
It was a really simple life.
What's different now?
Well, when we got married, he joined the military, and he was making more money. And he started getting more greedy. Well, and that, you know, it bothered me a lot because the more money we were making, the worse he was getting. Hmm. And we've been separated for 5 years now.
What was it like when you separated? What was your financial picture like then?
It wasn't easy because I've had to struggle and I've been trying to make ends meet.
And how much did the money contribute to your marriage problems?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, because you couldn't communicate, didn't have agreement.
No, you know, that's one of the hardest things that he had was communication.
Yeah.
Because, and I love to communicate about, especially about money and finances. To this day, I ask him, you know, well, how much are you making? Because he's working for someone. As a ranch hand, and he won't speak of it. He's like, well, it's none of your business, and things like that, so.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Here's the power of one thing to change what comes out of your mouth. Hey, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. I'm talking about the words, about our speech. I'm thinking of what Paul says, to let no corrupt communication come from our mouth, but only what is building up and edifying another person. As we're thinking about the power of one thing, in this case, with our speaking and our words, can I encourage you, at least for the next 24 hours, try this for 24 hours. Speak only words of encouragement, intentionally. You know what? And when you do, observe yourself, how it's changed you and how it changes those around you. I can promise it'll make a change. Do it not only for 24 hours, do it for the next month and see what happens. And you know, when you do that, that is intentional living.
Want to be encouraged every day? Get the video version of the Intentional Living Minute in your email. Go to theintentionallife.com/minute.
And it's available to you. Just following up before we go on to our next caller, to Christina, that kind of left her hanging there. It's important. I think the message is important to get on the same page. And you hear me say that over and over, and it's, you know, it's logical, but I think of the passage in the book of Amos again that says, how can two walk together unless they be in financial agreement? Doesn't say financial agreement. You stick in whatever word you want. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement and they have the same destination? How can two walk together if they don't agree on parenting? How can two walk together if they don't have agreement about money or about kids, about in-laws? And here's the problem. You can only be just one degree apart, just one degree off. And you walk for a mile and you're 92 feet apart. You have to yell to hear each other. You keep going out beyond a mile to 10 miles or 100 miles and you won't see each other. And so it doesn't necessarily mean you're 180 degrees apart going in totally opposite directions. Sometimes just being off enough, that one degree, that it can create the kind of distance in the relationship that can be very painful. So anyway, I hope that helps, Christina. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it. All right, Keith in Tennessee with a question for me. Go right ahead.
My question is about enabling versus helping your parents as far as with their finances. If they're not spending appropriately and expect you to help them, they live in a resort area, so they have a very expensive house, but they can't afford it. They can't work, and they're doing a reverse mortgage. They could sell it and pay cash for a smaller house, but they just don't want to leave the area. And the taxes are $10,000 a year, and they expect us and the siblings to help pay for those taxes so they can stay in that house. He's disabled, so he can't work. It's actually my in-laws. I think they're 60.
Well, listen, Keith, if you guys want to do it, that's a great blessing for your in-laws. God bless you. But at the same time, if you and your siblings are saying we can't, or we don't want to, or it's putting pressure on our own budget, then you've got to go to your in-laws in this case, along with your wife. I hope you and your wife are on the same page, by the way. I'm wondering, you didn't mention, but if you have some of the sibs that are on different views of this whole thing, that creates then a sib problem. which, by the way, is the fault of the parents for not taking care of it first. Don't put on your kids this kind of responsibility to have an expectation that's not dealt with in advance. So anyway, I would get with your spouse, and your spouse get with her sibs, because it's her family, right? If I hear you right. And then come to an agreement. Is this something we can do, want to do or not do, or some going to do more, whatever it is. And then go to the parents and just say, Mom and Dad, we love you, but this is what we're capable of. This is what we're willing to do. This is how we can help. But beyond this, you're going to have to, we're happy to help you, but you got to put a plan together. Because I'll tell you what, an added house, paying the big bills and the added taxes, not worth having your family blow up in your face. So get with your wife. Hopefully it's not a marriage issue. All right, let's move on here. Danielle in Arizona. Go right ahead. What's your thing on finance and marriage?
So we got pregnant with our son before we got married, and my husband was wanting to be a basketball coach, but not there yet. And I'm a nurse, so I already had a good, stable job. And we got married, and our account is joined, but his debit card goes to his, and my debit card goes to mine, and he transfers about one of his job's paychecks over to my account, so it's about $900 a month. And I take his $900 along with what I make, which is probably a third more than what he makes. And I do all the saving. I pay all the bills. I know my credit score. I've paid off almost all our debt, not including our car and some student loans, but all of our credit card debt. But I'm feeling he's never checked his credit, and he doesn't do any of the saving or any of the helping with paying the bills. And I know that I'm probably better at that, but I'm feeling a little frustrated because I'm pregnant with a second child, and I'm going to have to go down to part-time, and he's going to have to make up for that. And I'm a little worried that I do all the saving and paying up the bills, that maybe I am enabling him a little, or...
Well,
you know, we want to buy a house, and
it sounds like maybe the two of you just haven't really talked this through and have any sort of plan.
I've said, you know, I would like it if you would take over the bill paying, or so you know what the bills are, so that when I go part time, you can do that. And I've also asked him to check his credit, but he has not done any of that, nor transferred any of his money to our savings account.
You know, I had this thought, you know, you take the box, you take all the bills, you take everything and you leave it on his desk and say, if you have any questions, give me a call. But that wouldn't be nice, would it? I think that, Danielle, what I hear from you is a very sweet, gentle spirit. I don't want to upset him. And I've been doing this and I've taken responsibility for it. And you know what? Come on. If your spouse is taking responsibility for things and you're fairly happy, you just keep your hands off of it and don't worry about it. Right. And what you're saying is, hey, I need for him to be more involved, know what his credit's like, and we put a plan together. And this is just one of those areas like parenting where sometimes we have to have a wake-up call. And maybe you need to just have a little bit of a come-to-Jesus meeting when it comes to your spouse and say, listen, if we're Christians, we're going to come to Jesus and ask him what we should be doing with our money, and we need to be doing it together. It's not me, it's not my problem or my issue or my responsibility, but that we're on the same page and we work these things through together. And that's what I would encourage. Boy, you know, there seems to be a theme that comes around with money. It's a math issue, it's a communication issue, it's getting on the same page issue. As we often say, it's not that difficult if we really get together and start to talk about it and work it through. All right. Let's go to Robert in Arizona, I think, has a question for me as well. Go right ahead.
Well, my question is, the situation that we're currently in right now, I'm engaged right now, and we're looking to get married here in the next couple of months, and we both have accumulated some debt, and with that being said, we both have houses, and we were looking to go out and buy a house together or move in one of our homes that we currently have that we've been paying on and have a mortgage on each. And we're thinking that the smarter thing to do with all the debt that we have is to take the proceeds from my house that I've been in for the past 8 years, pay off both of our debts with that, all of our credit card debt, which is combined like $55,000. I'll have enough money to still put $50,000 in the bank for emergency savings plus more, of course, be completely debt-free. And then since her mortgage payment is $1,000 right now that we'll both be on, by applying an extra $500 a month on it, knocking it all the way down to 12 years. I wanted to get your opinion on how that sounds and if that sounds smart or if just taking on the traditional 30-year mortgage would be still appropriate in this case.
Man, if I had a chance to get out of debt, I'd get out of debt. You know, you might have some financial people say, well, you can adjust this and you can make a little bit more if you do the interest here and there. To me, there's freedom. I mean, life is short. If you can experience that and you're in a place where you can sell one home and pay off all those $55,000 credit cards, get that gone, man, I would. I think that would give you guys freedom. That's what I hear. And it sounds like you've talked about it and you've come to an agreement. If you talked about it, you come to an agreement, you're on the same page. That alone is fantastic freedom for you. So glad to hear you're thinking about it. That's intentional living, Robert. All right, before the break here, let's see if we can get Laura on from New Mexico. Welcome, Laura. What are some of the challenges you're facing when it comes to finance?
Yeah, dealing with finances can be an emotional journey. And 8 years ago, my husband and I, we got married. We both had come from a place of divorce prior. And my husband holds a finance degree and a business degree. I, too, am educated, but I came to the table with about $10,000 in debt, which, you know, I was not proud of. I was quite ashamed of, but my husband helped me be able to chip away at it. And then through our faith, through our unified practice in going through the Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey, we were able to achieve some amazing things in the last 8 years. We are debt-free. We own a rental property. We both work full-time, and my salary is put towards the 401k, the tithing, so used for very specific things, where we then live, you know, day-to-day off of my husband's income. But we're both in sales capacity, so any additional incentive bonus we earn per year, we put that away in additional savings and investments, and we do sit down with our financial planner once a year. We're both 44 years old and very proud to say that we have intentions and goals of retiring early based on what we're doing now. So we would like to retire at about 55.
Now, Laura, is this people listening saying, now, wait a minute, you want to retire at 55, you're coming into this with debt and some financial challenges, second marriage and all of that. Is it because you have, you're making a great deal more, a lot of money, or is it because of being intentional in how you use it? What's been the secret of making this happen so quickly in your life?
It's absolutely been intentional in how we're choosing to place our funds. We just, you know, try to keep ourselves in check, not only, you know, individually with God, but being accountable to each other. It's increased the excitement of our marriage. It's increased the thought of what this money can do through tithing and helping others. We volunteer quite a bit. My husband's on a board of a food pantry. I mean, the things that we've been able to do and achieve have been pretty wonderful, and we're able to touch so many other lives through this as well.
What I hear, Laura, is you and your husband on the same page working these things together. And I tell people, if you and your spouse can come to an agreement and you got the big picture and you understand what's happening, that's where the joy happens. Because everybody's story is a little different. I don't think there's a cookie cutter approach to a lot of the questions we face. Figure out what pleases Christ in your life and then do it. That really is intentional living. Wow, we're about out of time. Quick break. I'll be right back. If something is working well in your marriage, I encourage you to continue to repeat it. Take that habit, develop it, grow it, make it a part of your daily exercise, what we call our love habits in marriage. On the other hand, if you have some things in your marriage that aren't working, maybe it has to do with communication or forgiveness, or maybe it has to do with parenting or finance, that's when we talk about hitting that reset button. Going back to factory settings to figure out what pleases Christ. What is God's intention? And in this lesson, I talk about some things you can do to hit that reset button for God's glory and certainly for your own benefit in your marriage relationship.
That
That is an excerpt, by the way, from the teaching this month on Marriage Reset. If you're not part of the team, come and join us. We'd love to get our monthly master classes into your hands, digitally, that is. Just go to theintentionallife.com. All right, about out of time, but Janine's been waiting with a question from Missouri.
My question is, we were debating on moving down south to my stepdad's place that is already paid off, where we will not have a mortgage payment, thankfully. But my husband is wanting to start a business of flipping cars, and we were just curious, is it wrong to take out a loan to get that garage built for him to do that? I didn't know if that means being a slave to the debtor or not, or if there's an exception, or however you would say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question, Janine. Listen, when the scripture talks about debt, I think the kind of debt that gets us into trouble is debt that just goes down a hole. You know, let's face it, you use a credit card to go out and eat. You get a credit card for a consumable item and so on. And then you're paying interest on it. That to me, that's a waste. I mean, it's just contrary to God's intention for money. However, if you're borrowing money to build an asset that's going to have value, a business and so on, that's totally different. But you got to have good counsel to make sure that you can pay that back. You can pay it back with the interest, and that you're going to have a reward for it in terms of your business. So to answer your question, no, borrowing money, if it's done intentionally and done prayerfully, is not sin when it comes to your business and building your business. But be wise when you do, because a lot of people jump in with a great idea and it blows up in their face. Okay, we're out of time. This has been fun talking money today. If you have a comment, agree, disagree, want to add in, you're welcome to do so on our storyline at 888-888-1717. I just want to say, we're talking about money. Thanks to each of you who have entrusted a small portion of what God's given you to help us continue with what we're doing. We just promise to use it wisely. We do not borrow money here from our ministry or for our ministry. We use what comes in to allow us to get back out with our content, with our radio, with our podcast, with events and the things that we do. And I just say thank you for it. Just thought I'd slip that in. Okay, thank you, Jennifer and Gino there on Facebook, and all of our Facebook friends that have been joining us today. Thank you. And Stephen, senior producer, God bless you all. Have a great day. We'll see you again tomorrow with more Intentional Living.